The epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as they drew near Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. But hearing the crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Those are the words of this morning's Holy Gospel. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These are the words from the Gospel of St. Luke concerning this story. But there is a parallel of this in the Gospel of Mark, which gives us slightly different details. And if we read that, we hear, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were astonished, and following were afraid." So there's another detail that we learn from St. Mark, and that is that our Lord went out in front of the apostles. Our Lord led the way. Our Lord showed his eagerness to suffer and to die for us in this way. But the disciples had silent fear. They had trepidation, either because they feared that they too would die alongside of Christ, or maybe it was that they just simply that they feared that they would lose their great teacher, whom they loved to listen to and to learn from. So is Christ like a clueless child who is excited to jump up into the dentist's chair? Is he so naive that he doesn't understand where he is heading and what is going to happen? Not at all. And we hear him say this because he says, "I will be delivered up to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, spit upon, crucified." He knows exactly what is going to happen. On this day, our Lord is resolutely walking in front of his apostles. But in reality, it's almost as if he might as well already be surrounded by the pack of bloodthirsty Roman soldiers, already bound by them. He has no more power to resist his passion today than he will have on Good Friday. But today, it is not his hands and his ankles which are bound by chains, It's his heart which is bound by love. We know that at any time, at any moment, he could have broken free from the chains which bound him. But this bond of love which fastens his heart is too powerful for our Lord to break. He cannot break this powerful bond of love. And so, like a magnet drawn towards its opposite, our Lord is drawn towards Jerusalem. If we could ask our Lord why he is walking down this path, what would he tell us? I'm going to offer my entire being, my entire self to my Father for you. I'm going to offer my body and my blood entirely for you. And so that I may be all yours and you may be all mine. What were the apostles' reactions? We already saw this. They were scared. They were astonished. They were afraid. As they approached Jericho, though, we hear that there was a blind man standing by the wayside. Who is it, we should ask, that truly is blind in this story? It's the apostles. They're blind because they do not understand that love means sacrifice. The love which bound Christ's heart was the reason for his suffering. Padre Pio tells us, the proof of love is to suffer for the one you love. If we follow Christ all the way to Jerusalem, we will see this love in action. And we will be impelled, we will be driven, we will be motivated to return love for love. To follow Christ closely is what we must do. Follow closely, watch him closely, listen to his words. This is how we will see how much he loves us, by watching what he does. Now, with Lent beginning on Wednesday, we're about to begin our journey with Christ to Calvary. And as we go along, we will see many instances, many demonstrations of how much Christ loves us. We begin our journey at least partially blind, like the apostles were today. Will we end this journey just as blind as we started? Or will we begin to understand more the great love which Christ has for us? We want to love God. All of us want to love God above all things, beyond all things. How will we do this? Well, love calls forth love. When I see God's love for me, I will respond with love. I won't be able to help it. Now, this love means sacrifice, we said. The love of Christ means sacrifice. And this is what he was teaching his apostles today. Listen to our Lord's words again. We go to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be mocked, spit upon, scourged, crucified. This is where our Lord is heading, to this great suffering. And elsewhere in the gospel, our Lord tells us, I will that where I am, you also may be. Certainly he wills that we be with him for all eternity in heaven. But what about in time? What about while we're on this earth? I will that where I am, you also may be. Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity explains these words a little bit for us. She says that Christ is telling us, remain in me, pray in me, adore in me, love in me, suffer in me. Those two back to back. Love in me, suffer in me. In reality, though, it would almost seem more appropriate if one was written above the other. Love in me, suffer in me. For Christ, this is what it means. To love is to suffer. And this is what he's done for us. I will that where I am, you also may be. Where is Christ? Christ is scourged at the pillar. Christ is being crowned with thorns. He's being crushed under the weight of the cross. He's being crucified. He is completely giving himself over for us. He's doing this by his death. And he also does this in Holy Communion when you receive him. Think of this. When I receive my Lord in Holy Communion, what is it that he keeps from me? What is it that he doesn't completely offer to me? His body and his blood, I know I receive. What about the greater parts of them, his being? His soul? Even his divinity. Everything that he has, he gives to me. Everything that he has. Remember, the love impels love. What return will I give then to the Lord for these great things which he is giving to me? He asks for all that we have. He asks for everything that we are able to give. That's what we must give to him. Not just some of it. All of it. Christ will never be satisfied with less than all of me. He'll never be completely satisfied with less than all of you. Unless a man renounce all, he cannot be my disciple, Christ says. Is this hard, to renounce all for Christ? It's impossible, we could say, if we haven't seen Christ's example first. If we haven't seen Christ give all for us, then we will not be able to give all for him. Christ says to us, he says to our souls in a way, you cannot be satisfied if you have all the things of this world but do not have me. We know this. But he also says to our souls, I cannot be completely satisfied unless I have all of you. He desires us completely. He needs us in a way. He needs our love. Our Lord came to St. Teresa of Avila once in one of her mystical experiences, and he asked her a question. He said, who are you? She responded with her religious name. She says, I am Teresa of Jesus. And then she asked him that same question, who are you? And our Lord said, I am Jesus of Teresa. How beautiful. She was Teresa of Jesus. She had given herself to him. But he was Jesus of Teresa. And this was his joy. This was his joy. To have been able to give himself to her and to have her give herself completely to him. And when the priest offers Mass, he wears a cincture. He wears a cord around his waist. And this is a symbol of purity and of faith. But it's also a reminder that just as Christ allowed himself to be drugged through the streets of Jerusalem, so too the priest is giving himself over to be, in the same way, drugged through the streets of Jerusalem. But not just the priest, but all of the faithful. All of us are reminded that we must commit ourselves to going wherever we must go out of love for Christ, wherever he desires that we go. What a treasure and what a gift this is. To be bound to that person who loves us so much. That person whose heart was bound with love today as he led the way to Jerusalem. To be united with him perfectly. So then why do we cling to our rags? Why do we hold fast to our poverty? To our weakness? That's what all these things of this world are. All of the distractions. Even the most luminous and glorious things on this earth are nothing but rags, weakness, and poverty in comparison to eternity. Yet somehow, for some reason, we grab hold of these as if they are the only sure thing of hope, sure hope of joy that we have. But in fact, these things are our greatest enemies. These things are Christ's greatest enemy in his longing to be satisfied. In his longing to be satisfied by having our entire being. So as he said to St. Teresa of Jesus, I am Christ of Jesus, I am Jesus of Teresa. He wants to say to us too, I am Jesus of you. I am Jesus of me. Love impels love. So let us watch Christ closely during this Lenten season. Let us see the longing that he has to suffer for us as he takes the lead to Jerusalem and see this great longing fulfilled on Good Friday. I will that where I am, you also may be. Let us be there with him on Calvary. Let us suffer with our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.